morning, Mike. How was your vacation? Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your power, for your anointing. We thank you, Lord God, for calling us into your family, for being so faithful to us. Over all these years. Thank you for this congregation. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for being here. And I pray, Lord, that somebody would get something out of this today, that it would enrich their lives, and Father, that your word would prosper and grow within them. We commit this service to your hands. We ask you to have your way in the name of Jesus. Amen. Good morning. It's good to see some happy, smiling faces. Who said what? Who said what? She's talking about her husband, by the way. If we understand and realize who we are in Christ Jesus. Who's been saved in here less than a year? Anybody? Just one? Two? Glory to God. Hallelujah. They are a walking, living miracle. Amen. By the power of God. In my sermon this morning, or what I'm going to try to attempt to teach, is where's the power? Each one of us that has called ourselves Christians, who has submitted their lives and surrendered to Jesus Christ, you have a supreme power in your life. But why is it that people who call themselves Christians live defeated lives and live in fear and wondering when the next shoe is going to drop? You're a child of God. That means there's been a change in your life. Every bondage in your life has been broken by the power of God. And what resides inside you gives you the power over all the power of the enemy, the Bible says. Let's open the Bible, if you have it with you, to Matthew 10. Now, these disciples had been saved, been disciples of Jesus for less than 3 years. And listen to what Jesus tells them. And when he called unto him his 12, this is verse 1, by the way. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power . That word power is a zousa, and it means a delegated authority . A superhuman strength. He gave them power against unclean spirits, that's demons, to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Some of us are bound up like chains and shackles in our feet. in our attitudes, in our habits, and things that we know that is contrary to the will of God for your life. The youngest Christian, those two young men over there, and you too, you have power to lay hands on the sick and to heal them. You do. And you might think that, I'm not a pastor, I'm not a leader of the church, I'm not on the worship team, I haven't been to college, I didn't even finish high school. Neither did these disciples. But Jesus gave them power to heal the sick, to cast out devils. And then he says, you got to read on. In verse 5, it says, and these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and unto any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now listen to this, because he's talking to you. When you became a Christian and you asked Jesus to come into your heart, you became a disciple of Jesus. Now listen to this. And as you go, that doesn't mean that you sit in church week after week and week after week and do nothing and say nothing. He's called us to be witnesses to his mercy and his grace and his power. He's called you. And we're embarrassed and sometimes ashamed when we're surrounded by the heathen, the unbeliever, to even mention the name of Jesus. That's a travesty, folks. As you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of God is in you, folks. The kingdom of God is in you. And then, this is going to blow your mind. It says in verse number 8, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers. Lepers is a form of cancer, okay? Cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. He's talking to people, to his disciples, who didn't, 3 years ago, had nothing to do with Jesus Christ. And he's telling them, go out into your communities and preach the gospel, heal the sick, raise the dead. I don't know about you, but I've seen the red dead raised. And I've seen an old woman up in Michigan come into a church, and she was bent over like this, and her daughter was walking her down the aisle and set her in a pew, and the word come forth, you are healed in the name of Jesus. And the individual that was preaching said, get up and walk up here. And her daughter helped her get up, and she was walking with a cane with three legs on it. And she's stumbling up to the front. And the preacher said, the Bible says that in Mark 16, these signs shall follow them that believe. Not just those that have been saved for 30 or 40 or 50 years or this pastored for 20 years. These signs shall follow them that believe. They shall cast out devils. They will speak with new tongues. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And he took a little bottle of oil, and he anointed her forehead and said, be healed in the name of Jesus. Then he asked her, are you healed? She said, I think so. That's not much faith, is it? Did you realize that you get nothing from God without faith? Either your faith or somebody else's. That's the truth. He said, give me your cane. She gave him the cane. He said, turn around and walk down the aisle and come back up here. And she straightened up. She walked down the aisle, and she walked back up. And he picked the cane up, and he said, if you ever pick this thing up again, you'll be using it for the rest of your life. And she walked back to her pew. And that poor woman walked out the door. She got outside the door, and she picked that cane up again. Started walking like this again. The Word of God is true. In spite of what you think in your mind, in spite of what your circumstances is and what you're going through, and the problems and the difficulties that you face, God is faithful, and He wouldn't tell you to do something you cannot do. The Bible says in Philippians 2:10, at the name of Jesus, every knee bows. And there's not a thing on this planet that does not have a name. That means you have authority over all the power of the enemy. Because that enemy is out to destroy you, destroy your relationships, destroy your marriage, and carry you to hell. That's His agenda for you and for me and for anybody that wants to live godly. In 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, Paul said, I didn't come to you with enticing words of men's wisdom, but I came to you in the demonstration of power and of the Spirit. Paul was an educated man. He learned everything that he had, that he knew, under the feet of Gamaliel, who was the wisest man of his time. But Paul didn't use long 15-letter words to mean say something that he meant with four. But he showed them the power of God. When is the last time the power of God has been shown in your life? Huh? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's go over to Acts 3. Hallelujah. Now, Peter, verse 1, we're going to read down through 12. Now, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. That's about 3 in the afternoon. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, from the time that he first drew breath, whom they laid at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, and asked for alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." This man had no strength in his legs at all. He'd never walked a day in his life. And Peter, and he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. Huh. And he, leaping, stood up and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. You hear that, Eric? You're going to walk, brother. You are going to walk. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was him which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly upon us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk?" I can imagine if I was been lame from my mother's womb and some two people said, you know what, Peter didn't even say a long prayer. He didn't say any prayer. All he said was, "In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." And then he reached down and he helped him to stand. And as he was rising up, strength and power came into that man's legs and ankles. And I imagine if it was me, I'd be jumping and shouting too, wouldn't you? And I imagine the tears flowed down his face because he didn't have to depend on anybody for anything anymore. Hallelujah. Over in chapter 4 of that same book, verse 8 through verse 13. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, and that's where your power comes from, folks. It's from the Holy Spirit within you. It's not your wisdom, it's not your power that changes people's lives. It's the anointing that God places on you. As His child, you have a power to do signs and wonders that people might marvel and stand in awe and in amazement of what God can do. God's not up there in heaven just twiddling His thumbs, but He's placed power within us. And our problem is that we fail to believe Him and we don't act upon what He says. Well, what is people going to think if nothing happens? Father, then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the temple, these were church leaders and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined for the good deed that was done unto the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by Him doth this man stand here before you whole. Who's in you? Who do you have inside you? If you are a Christian, who resides in you? The same Jesus. The very same Jesus. And His power has not been diminished one iota. You have power in you to raise the dead. That's God's word. But we are intimidated by people we're surrounded by. We're intimidated by the circumstances. If you only knew. You got the creative power of God in you. Where's the power? You want to see the church filled? Start using the name of Jesus. Start laying your hands on the sick. Start proclaiming the gospel, the good news. The good news is that Jesus saves. And He loves you. No matter how haywire your life is, He loves you. He's a good God. And that Holy Spirit in you has placed within you talents and abilities, supernatural abilities, to change people's lives. And if you don't be verbal in your communication with people and bearing witness to what God has done in your life, how are they going to know? Because they sure ain't learning it out there in the public arena. We don't take the authority and stand in our position as a children of God. That's what our problem is. Well, that's just life. That's just the way things go. No. This is a stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now listen to what Luke wrote here. Now when they saw the boldness, you need holy boldness, you know that? You need holy boldness. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they didn't have a high school education. They didn't go to college and have 3 degrees up on the wall and with 5 initials after their name. They were unlearned and ignorant men. And they stood in awe and amazement. And they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. What's your relationship with Jesus? How close are you to Jesus? If you spoke a prayer right now, would God hear you? Are you sure of that? We had a saying many years ago, if God seems far away, guess who moved? Huh? When your prayers go no higher than the ceiling, something's radically wrong. But God hears, and He responds. And it might not come in your timetable, but He does answer, and sometimes He says, wait. He doesn't say no. Or He doesn't say yes. Sometimes He says, just wait. But He hears and He does respond. Glory to God. Over in Acts 5, Acts 5:12-16. Where's the power of God in you? When have you demonstrated the power of God? It's not just Brad. He's one man. He can't be every place at once in your lives. But if you're a child of God, you've got power over all the power of the enemy. Fear is a tool of the enemy. Wrong habits is a tool of the enemy. Some of us are bound up, and you need to be set free. Look what happened here in chapter 5, verse 12. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought amongst the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest, durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women. This is astounding. Insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folk, and them that were vexed with unclean spirits. They were demon-possessed. And they were healed, every one. Along a wall, they laid these sick people. They was looking for Peter and John, and the apostles would be coming down the street. And the sun was shining. And the shadow now that's walking in the power of God, amen. And the shadow falling on the people that was laying, that was crippled and sick and demon possessed, it says every one of them was healed. It doesn't say Peter said one word. But the Holy Spirit in him used his shadow to heal those crippled people and demon-possessed people. And he healed every one of them. Every one of them. I see a shadow here. Lay at her feet, brother. Folks, the Bible says in Revelation, he has made us kings and priests in this present world. Kings rule in the natural realm, in what we consider the natural realm. And priests rule in the spiritual realm. You are a child of God. You are a king and a priest and a handmaid of the Lord. And you've got power in you. You have the ability to do signs and wonders and miracles today. God doesn't make trash. He does not make losers. One day he's going to pick you up. God is going to hold you in his hand. And he's going to show all the holy angels in heaven what he's done with you, so that he gets the glory. How he took this wretched, evil-hearted person and transformed them into a saint, into a blood-washed child of God, sanctified and holy. Are you holy today? Are you holy today? I believe the Bible says in Hebrews, without holiness, no man will see God. Not in peace, anyway. Folks, God wants to use us to transform not only this city, but this nation. And he wants to use you. Because you're important. You're important. He wants to raise up a people who's not dominated by fear and sickness and disease and corruption. So that he can show them people out there in the world what it means to be a Christian, to be saved, in spite of the rejection and the pain and the suffering that you go through. That we can do it with joy. Paul was in prison in the midnight hour with Silas, locked in stocks and shackles, and rats running around. But they weren't saying, "Woe is me, what a terrible life I got. Why me, Lord?" Well, why not you? No, they were singing and praising God. And in the midst of their difficulty and the hardship that they faced, they were set free. And as a result of that, of their singing and praising God when they had been whipped and locked in a dungeon, their jailer got saved. That's power. That's the anointing of the Spirit within him. And you've got that same Spirit in you. You said you'd been saved for less than a year, correct? Good. You two young men back there, you also, correct? So you believe you can lay hands on the sick and they will recover, correct? Amen? What about you? Huh? Are you brave? I believe you are. I believe you are. You're going to step out in faith today. You know that? Come here, brother. Come here. You don't need that coffee anyway. You two young men, come here. Come up here. You're not going to be alone, sis. Brad was telling us yesterday about him praying for this woman that had a knot on her knee. Was it her knee, right? Show the people how big it was. Brad laid hands on her. When did that happen? Sunday afternoon. He got done laying hands on that woman's knee, praying over her, and when he left her, she still had it, right? And then what happened?
I saw her Thursday, and her knee was almost completely normal. And she had been in that condition for like 8 weeks, and couldn't run and all this. And she was going around telling everybody what happened to her. And her knee, you can barely tell it had anything there at all. Maybe she could have rescued, but if not, that she'd been carrying.
When you was born, you could walk, correct? How long you been in this situation? Thank you. So you're not the same as that man in the Bible. I mean, he was born that way, correct? Come here, sis. Come on up here. No, no, you guys get back here. Come up here. The Bible says that man was lame from his mother's womb. And he said, in the name of Jesus, get up and walk, right? Come up here. Take his feet off there. Just here, just move his leg. Pick his leg up over the other one a little bit. There you go. Now pick that thing up. Okay. And then the other one. Now, I'm not saying that he's going to walk like me. Lord, help him if he did. But he's going to walk. I'm telling you, in the name of Jesus, Eric is going to walk. Agreed? Do you agree? Do you agree? Do you agree? Grab him by the hand. Got to put the lock on. Is the lock on? Yeah. Okay, come on. Sis, would you pray over him? Pray over him. You do it. No. There's power in your words. There's life and death in the power of the tongue. Name of Jesus. Take the first step, Eric. You have a part to play in this too. Turn towards the window, Eric. Tell him to walk. In the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. Take your time. Take your time. I got you. You're not going anywhere. Move your leg. Either one. It doesn't matter which one. In the name of Jesus. We come against the power of the enemy in this man's life and in his body. We loose him from the shackles that you have bound him with, Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ. Loose him. You loose him in Jesus' name. You okay? Pardon?
Keep our forward.
Okay, straighten up.
There we go.
Come on. Come on. You get tired, just say something. Amen. Come on. Need to straighten up for it?
Yeah.
Okay. You get wore out, let me know. Don't give up. The next step. Don't give up. Don't give up. Are you tired? Let's get his chair. Go ahead. Come on. Come on. Come on. You're all right. Just sit down.
Yeah,
Yeah, put the pedals down. I declare the word of God to your body. I declare healing and wholeness to every muscle, sinew, and tendon in the name of Jesus. This power that resides in me, I give to you in Jesus' name. Be healed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Eric, life and death is in the power of the tongue, it says in Proverbs 18. You need to start speaking life to your limbs and strength. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You cannot give up, Eric. God doesn't make quitters. Thank you, Father. I love you. I love you. You have a word for him?
I love him. I don't even know him.
His name is Eric. Eric Olson. He's a friend of mine. He's my brother. Amen. Who said that? Come here, Michelle.
I just see the spirit of Amber just floating, flowing. That the spirit of God is real.
Amen.
He is real. And your strength and recognizing that that's what you want to depend on is just shining out. It's just a beautiful thing. That was amazing, Eric.
Grateful.
Dear Lord, we just come to you as this congregation here at Grace Point. We just ask that your healing touch be upon Eric, be upon everyone in the congregation that's needing healing. When we need healing, we come to you in expectation and belief that you would give us the strength. And we do all this for your glory. We just praise you and thank you. As the weeks come upon us, we're going to watch the strength and the continued walking of Eric. He got out of that chair, was lifted out of that chair and walked. We just praise you and glorify you for it. In your son Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Michelle. Hallelujah. I love you, brother. Hallelujah.
Taking these two guys on the road now.
Yeah, tomorrow. Mother and father probably wouldn't appreciate it. Glory to God. God's good, folks. All he wants to do is love you and love those people out there. And we have to demonstrate to them the love of Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Can we stand? Pastor, you want to dismiss?
Yeah.